Hey, I'm Darren. I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. And anybody notice the time I was snoring on there? 314, because you know that that's God's time, isn't it? You're like, some of you are like, there is no time at 314 a.m. It does not matter. There's not God's time. I love it so much. We are going to be able to have a fun time today. We are wrapping up a series that we have called Relationship Goals. That we want to be able to talk about. Every February, we go through a series that we talk about relationships. It's just a natural season for us to talk about that. And relationships are so important for us to talk about because it really, they impact every single part of ourselves, don't they? Relationships impact every single part of who we are. They impact our emotional place, right? Like that we get stimulated emotionally from the relationships that we are in. We get stimulated intellectually in the relationships that we're in. We get stimulated physically in the relationships that we are in. And we get stimulated spiritually by our relationships as well. Which is exactly why we live in a culture that wants to destroy relationships. Which is why we need to talk about them. Because I want you to know today, God cares about your relationships. Amen. And he has given us a plan to live out. And if we can live according to what his plan is, you are going to have a fantastic relationship. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it is going to be wonderful. God has a plan for you to live out in your relationships. And he gives it to us in the greatest commandment that he has. Check this out in Matthew 22. He said, one of them, an expert of the law, wanted to test Jesus. And so he tested him with this question. He said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus responds by saying this. Go on to the next one, please. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. In other words, give everything that you have to God. Live it out. And then the second command is this. And then the first is greatest. And the second is like it. Is it love your neighbor as yourself. That's the plan that God has for us in relationships. To love your neighbor as yourself. A couple of weeks ago when we started off this series, we had our Forever conference, our marriage conference. We had our speaker, Gary Brugman. And he pointed out so eloquently, who is your closest neighbor? Your closest neighbor is your significant other. Your closest neighbor is your spouse. The first person that needs to be on this list of who you are going to love as yourself is your spouse, your significant other. God's plan for you is to love that other person just as much as you love yourself. You've got to be able to pour all of your love into that other person. That's what God's plan is for us in our relationships. Now let me deep dive into following Jesus in these commandments right here. Let me deep dive into this and explain this really quickly, because I believe wholeheartedly that God is not just looking for believers, that God is looking for some followers today. And following requires action. Following requires movement on your part. You need to take steps to follow Jesus. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. God's not just looking for some believers today. He's looking for some followers. Do I have any followers of Jesus in here today? And that requires there to be action on your part. That requires for you to fulfill what God has inside of us, the plan that he has, the principles that are before us, that he is calling us to live them out. Not to just hear them, but begin to do something about it. James says this. He said, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. You need to do what it says. Listen and then obey. The words that we say to our kids all the time, right? Like, I just want you to. How many times I got to tell you? How hard is it to just get dressed in the morning, right? Like, goodness gracious. Right? They're learning. That's what my wife tells me. Oh, my goodness gracious. Learning for 10 years how to get dressed. I don't even know. That's the same place that we are in. We've got to listen and obey as well. How many times are we going to hear it before we begin to do it? Yeah. Right? Yep. Some of you in here need to do it. You need to begin to be followers, not just believers. You need to be a follower. Begin to live it out. Begin to live out these principles. And what's the principle that we're talking about today? Love your neighbor. You need to love your spouse. God's plan for you is for you to love the person that you are closest to. That's your neighbor. Love them with everything that you have. Love them with everything that you have. Okay. And I'm going to tell you, if you do that, it's going to help you reach the relationship goals that we've been talking about throughout this series. Each and every single week, we've been talking about a specific relationship goal for us to be able to fulfill an ultimate goal. Each and every single week, we've talked about some amazing goals that are before us. We started off week one by saying that we need to be in a Christ-centered relationship. That it's each relationship, you want to have a rock-solid relationship, it has to start with the foundation of being Christ-centered. Not a self-centered or an other person-centered, but a Christ-centered relationship. It starts right there. We talked about the second week that the strongest individuals and strongest relationships are relationships that are mission-driven. That even when it gets tough, that you say, you know what, we got a mission and we're doing this together so that we can make it to the next step. And then we talked about last week, man, last week was so much fun, wasn't it? We want to be in a devil-kicking relationship because we understand that even though God has a plan for our relationships, that we have a spiritual enemy that is trying to derail us because he has a plan for us as well. And he wants to destroy our relationship. And so for us, I said, you know what? The best defense is a good offense. So I'm not going to wait for the devil to kick my tail in my relationship. I'm going after him. What? Come on, man, right? Like, I got to work on that, don't I? That kick, you know, like, that's a weak kick. Man, spiritually, watch out. I got a powerful spiritual kick, though, right? We want to be able to talk about being in a devil-kicking relationship. And that helps us go to the ultimate goal that we have in every relationship. And that goal is this: for better or for worse. Somebody say better today. Better. Somebody say worse today. Worse. Right? You don't like that one. Like, I don't. Even the way you said that, you're like, better.
Worse.
Like, you didn't even want it. Some of you didn't even say it, did you? You're like, I'm not saying that one. I don't want that one. It's easy to say it when things are going well. But then when it truly gets through a moment that it's worse. And those relationships are hard, aren't they? But that's what we have. That's the goal. Many of you, even in your marriage vows, you said it. For better or for worse. For richer, for poor, for sickness and in health. Those were not just words that you said to each other. Those were a commitment that you gave in front of God and other people. So live it out. Don't just say it. Begin to live it out. And so today we're going to talk about a specific goal for us to be able to get to the point where we are in a relationship that is for better or for worse. The goal that we're going to talk about today is to be in a covenant-keeping relationship. Everybody say covenant. Everybody say keeping. That's the goal that we have today, to be in a covenant-keeping relationship. It's making a commitment at the covenant level. You know, there's a different way that you can make a commitment to somebody. There's two different ways that you can make a commitment to somebody, and that's this. You can be in a contractual relationship, or you can be in a covenant relationship. You can be in a contractual relationship, or you can be in a covenant relationship. And there's a huge difference between the two of these things. See, in a contractual relationship, you are saying this: as long as you do your part. As long as you do your part, then we can be in relationship together. I equate this to a very similar relationship that I have with AT&T. That is a contractual relationship that we have. Because what I'm saying is, you know what? I'll be in relationship with you as long as you fulfill the part of providing service for me. I will continue to give you money on a monthly basis as long as you provide for me the ability to be able to call somebody, the ability to be able to text whoever I want, the ability for me to be able to sit down and play Candy Crush whenever I want to, right? If I don't have Candy Crush, then I'm not paying you any more money. That's the way it goes, right? Or whatever game. I don't even know what game people are playing anymore. Is it still Candy Crush? Some of you are like, it is for me, but I don't want to say it. This is freedom in here, right? There's no judgment about Candy Crush in this place today. It's fantastic. And then AT&T is saying to me, you know what? We'll go ahead and we will provide this service for you as long as you do your part in giving us money every single week. AT&T, they're not trying to do this out of the goodness of their own heart, are they? Right? or Verizon or whoever it is that you've got. It's a contractual relationship. But a covenant relationship is very, very different. A covenant relationship is very, very different. See, some of you in here today, you're in a relationship that is contractual. But a covenant relationship is very different. Covenant relationship says, as long as we both shall live. Some of you even said that in your wedding vows. As long as we both shall live. It's not contingent on you fulfilling your part. It's not contingent upon you making me feel a certain way. It's not contingent upon you making sure that you keep your socks cleaned up all the time. Making sure that you put the forks in the right place in the dishwasher. We're still working on that one in my house. Doesn't have anything to do with any of that. I'm making this commitment before God and before man. As long as we both shall live. That's a covenant. And many of us in the culture that we live in today, we do not believe in a covenant relationship. We've bought into a lie that says, no. This person needs to do what I need. This person needs to be able to fulfill my needs in this relationship. And if they don't, I'm getting on out. And that's not the plan that God has for us. The plan for us is to live in a covenant-keeping relationship. And this might be difficult for some of you in here today, because I know that some of you in here today have been in a relationship that has separated. And I want you to know that that's not what, that if you begin to feel guilt and condemnation, that is not from God today. That's the enemy coming at you and trying to make you feel that way. That there is grace and forgiveness for you today. But there's still a plan in place. And so we're not going to back away from the plan that God has. But I want you to know that if you begin to feel any of those things that are coming at you, that's not from God today. And take captive of those thoughts and make them submissive to Christ today. That you are going to feel freedom and you're going to be able to feel grace no matter what has happened, because I believe wholeheartedly inside of myself that God cares more about your future than he does your past, okay? That there is forgiveness and grace for you in here today. So don't buy into anything that the enemy is trying to speak to your heart. But we're going to stand on those principles. And we're going to talk about what it means to be in a covenant-keeping relationship. This is what God has for us. So then the question leads to us is this. Okay, so then how do I do that? How can I be in a covenant-keeping relationship? Which I don't know about you, it's hard to do. In culture today, isn't it? It's hard to do, even in a relationship that is going well, because it doesn't matter how strong that you are. Man, there are some rough moments, aren't there? There truly are some worse moments in the relationships. There's a wrong time to say, yeah, babe, it's goodness gracious. Somebody else speak up, man, like my wife on the front row. Usually I love it, man. She's speaking life at me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to preach even harder. Come on, babe. Help me out a little bit. But there are some worse moments. We live in culture that is just pushing us and driving us away from each other. So how can we live this out? If this is God's plan for us, then how do we live it out? How do we live out loving our neighbor as we love ourselves? How can we do that within this culture? So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you three key major thoughts about love. How to love each other that are going to help us live in a covenant-keeping relationship. Are you guys ready for this? Come on, now who's ready for this? This is going to be powerful. And if you live this out, I'm telling you, this is practical. This is practical in the way that you are going to approach your relationship. Don't let this just be a moment that's just going to sit right here. Again, listen, and then we're going to do it. We're going to listen to the word of God, and then we're going to obey it, and we're going to walk it out. Begin to walk out these principles. Number one, the first thing that we need to know is this. Love is a choice. Love is a choice. Man, that is not what the culture and the world is trying to tell us, is it? No. No, like, man, even the terminology that we have, it seems like love is accidental and that it's this magical, uncontrollable, I can't control who or what I do or love, right? Like, even, like the terminology that we use, like, oh, we just fell in love. Like you're walking along and you fell into a ditch or something like that. I didn't even have a choice. I tripped right into that. I didn't even know what happened. I just fell into love, right? Like, no. I got to tell you something. Like, for me, I believe that downplays the power of love. It downplays how powerful love is. Because for me, I know that my wife it wasn't something that she couldn't control herself. No, instead, she made the conscious, intentional choice to choose me. That's even better. That's even more powerful than we just happened to fall in love. Like, love is a choice. Check this out in Deuteronomy 30. It says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death. There is a choice. Life and death, blessings or curses. Which one are you going to choose? It's right before you. He says, now choose life. Yeah. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Continue on. And that you may love the Lord your God through choice. The choice is yours. The love of God is there for you. It is your choice to either accept it or reject it. It is a choice, and the exact same principle applies to you and your relationship. Love is not just a feeling that comes and goes as it pleases. It is a choice for you to be able to live out on a daily basis. Are there feelings attached? Absolutely. Absolutely, there are emotions that go along with it. You know, like when you're first in a relationship and you're just like, oh, I got all the butterflies and everything's there. My hands are all sweaty. I can't wait for the first time we hold hands or kiss each other. Oh, my goodness. You know. You hang up. No, you hang up first. Next thing you know, you're just like breathing in. You're falling asleep, right? Like, it's a choice. There's emotions, but it is so much more powerful than that. It is a choice to be able to live out. Why would we sully the power that love has by just saying that it's just here today and gone tomorrow? Yeah. Oh, it is a choice that each and every single one of us get to make. You made the choice to get together. You made the choice to be together. And now you got to make the choice to stay together. For better or for worse. You got to make that choice. Well, it's easy to say that when things are going well, right? But when things get difficult, oh boy, that's really hard to live it out. We've been fighting a whole lot. You still got to make that choice. Well, I just don't feel the same way anymore. You got to make the choice. You got to make that choice. Understand, more importantly than anything else, that love is a choice. And today, you're going to make the commitment, I choose love. I choose to love this person that I am with. The choice is yours. How are you going to live it out? You want to be in a covenant-keeping relationship? Number one, love is a choice. The second thing that we understand is this. Love is not about you. Love is not about you. See, too many times we think that we get in a relationship because this is what I want to be able to get out of it. Let me tell you something. I'm not in a relationship for what I can get, but for what I can give. God has put me in a relationship with my wife, not so that I can have all of my needs met. It's so that I can give freely. Because if we understand, again, remember that the second commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor, not to just get love from your neighbor, but to love your neighbor. You've got to walk this thing out. Love in a relationship is not just about you and fulfilling your needs. It's about fulfilling the needs of the person that you are with. It is not about what I can get. It's about what I can give. If you want to be in a covenant-keeping relationship, you need to understand today, it's not about you. Think about the other person. Check this out in 1 Corinthians 13. Love chapter. It's powerful. Some of you even said this at a wedding or something like that. This is powerful. Love is patient and love is kind. It does not envy and it does not boast. It's not proud and it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. I don't know how much more honest you can get about it than that statement right there. It is not self-seeking. It is not about what I can get. It's about what I can give. When I wake up in the morning, my first thought is not, well, I hope that my wife sat there and made breakfast for me, because if she didn't, well, we know what's going to be said. She better put my slippers out because it's cold outside and my toes. I don't even have slippers, man. I wish I did. I'm cold outside. But it's not about that. It's about how I can serve the person that I am with. It's not about seeking all of my desires. It's about being and helping desires fulfill the desires inside of the person that you are with. It's not about you. You didn't get in that relationship because you needed to have all of your needs met. No, you were in that relationship so you can help fulfill the needs and the wishes and dreams of the person that you're with. Come on now. You want to be in a covenant-keeping relationship? You have got to change your mindset. It's not about you. And then I love the last two statements of this passage right here. This is so powerful. And it speaks into how it is not about you. It says, it is not easily angered. Now, I'm going to be very blunt with you right now. If you are in here today, and if you have a quick temper, stop. You need to change. Don't just say, well, this is who I am. Why are you so angry all the time? Why are you so quick to be able to just spurt out and escalate? Be able to get so mad. Well, that's just who I am. Oh, that's just, it was just my parents. Knock it off. You're not in a relationship so that that person that you are with can be your whipping boy. That's not how it is. Love is not respond that way. It says love is not easily angered. You need to chill out. And if you can't, then come talk to me and let's figure this thing out. Let's figure out why you're so angry inside. Because there's something deep down and it's not what the other person is doing to you. There's some things that are going on inside of there. And come and talk to me and let's get it figured out. Don't be easily angered. And the second one, it keeps no record of wrongs. Now let me pause for a moment. As we're talking about being in a covenant-keeping relationship, I want you to know right now that God does not want to put you into a place where you are being harmed. It is not God's plan for you to be in a relationship where you are being abused. And you need to get out of that. Physically, emotionally, verbally, that is not God's plan for you today. Come talk to us. We want to help you in that as well. But if you are in a relationship where those things are not happening, you need to keep no record of wrong. Well, we got in a fight, and I went and apologized. Well, I'm thankful for it, but it's going to take a little bit of time for me to get over this. What kind of control freak are you? Well, I have an emotions. There's emotions. The emotions are happening, and I have to get over my emotions. Okay, then get over it. Don't come later on and say, well, this is the 14th time that we've talked about it. I want to know because we talked about it right here on March 4th, and then we talked about it here, and I kept a record of all of those moments that we talked about these things over and over again. Love keeps no record of wrong. Why are you holding on to this? Why do you continue to hold on to it over and over and over again? Here's what I want to let you know today. Because that person that you are with, they might have said 1,000 words to build you up, but that one thing that they said that tore you down, you're holding on to, and you're going to keep it held over their head forever. That's not what God has for you. Instead, here's what I want to help you with. You are in a relationship. You want to be in a covenant relationship. You need to write this down. I choose to see the best in you instead of the worst. Come on now. That's going to help so much of you right now. I choose to see the best in you instead of the worst. Well, how could you put the forks right here? We've talked about this over and over again. This is ridiculous. I think you're doing to just spite me now, right? Who even says spite anymore?
I don't know, but it's fantastic, right? It's a great word.
Instead, no, I choose to see the best in this person. Man, there must have been something going on. I don't know what's going on. I just don't care. That's all right, because it's not really that big of a deal. And I'm going to choose to see the best in the person that I'm with instead of the worst in them. I want to choose to be able to believe that God is going to be able to do an amazing work inside of their heart, inside of their mind, and inside of our relationship. Yeah. And that's how I'm going to wake up thinking about that person every single day, yeah, and not just thinking about all of the times that they have wronged me. Because yeah, I'm not keeping a record of that. I'm going to keep a record of how many dates that we went on. I'm going to keep a record of how many times you were able to speak love into my life, speak life into my life. I want to keep a record of that. Yeah. I want to be able to choose to see the best in the person I'm with instead of the worst. You want to be in a covenant-keeping relationship today? Love is a choice. It's not just a feeling. The second thing that you need to understand is that love is not about you. And then the final thing, if you want to be able to live out the commandment to say that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves, then we need to understand that love is found in Christ and in Christ alone. The foundation of our love is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Check out this verse, 1 John 4, 16 through 17. I said, and so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. It's so powerful that we are going to rely on the love that God has for us. I'm not just relying on the love that Jenny has for me. Let me tell you something. It is so easy for me to be in a covenant-keeping relationship. She makes it tremendously easy for me. She loves me so well. Except when she doesn't. On rare occasions, there's things that happen because why? We're human and we fail. And even when we want to have a good day, there's things that happen and they don't, and we say things or maybe the wrong tone or whatever. And if I was completely relying upon the love that Jenny has for me, then I'm going to find myself lacking. God's plan is for you not to be in lack in your love. Instead, God's plan for you is to find completeness in your love. Continue to go on. And this, go back. And this is how love is made complete. It's made complete for you when you rely on the love of God, because God is love. That the greatest love that you have is not found in the person that you are with, but the greatest love that you have is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Now, every single week, you guys are sitting here wondering what's going on behind me. Every single week, we've been having a little bit of a game. We've had a little bit of a competition, a battle of the sexes, if you will, to be able to illustrate what's going on with this. And we've opened up usually every single series or every single message with a little bit of game. Today, we're going to be able to close with a game. We want to be able to close with a game. And so I need somebody, a relationship, to be able to volunteer. Eugene and Michelle, it's fantastic. I'm so glad that you were able to raise your hand so quickly. Everybody give it up for Michelle and Eugene. Give it up for Michelle and Eugene. Man, I'll tell you what, after this series, people are like, I ain't going to church no more, man. But watch out, pastor, just call you out, man. You got to come up on stage, man. I just love it so much. Let's get this here in the middle. Eugene, I need you to be over on this side. Michelle, you're going to be standing over here on this side. And the reason why I called you out, man, is because you're bringing that fire with those sneakers today. It looks fantastic. It's not too often that I'm up on the stage and somebody's got better sneakers than me. I'm going to let you have that today. Killing it. Killing the game. Bringing the heat with the feet and the fire in the soul. That's what I'm talking about. Love it so much. All right, so here's what we're going to be able to do today. You can see that we have this table here, and this table is going to be your marker. This is the level that you have that you need to be able to make sure that you remember this table. You got this table in mind. The level of this table, okay? That's the important thing for you. And we got a 10-pound weight. Go ahead, Eugene, you take the 10-pound weight. Michelle, you got the 10-pound weight. That's right there. Okay, be able to stand right there. Here, move you right. All right, there. That's fantastic. All right, so here's what the game is. This is the goal of the game today, all right? I'm going to be honest with you. We're just going to let you know that the goal of the game is that you've got to be able to hold out the weight in front of you. So you're going to be able to lift up your arms and you're going to hold the weight in front of you, and it cannot drop below this table. So if it goes below the table, well, you lose. This is what. Here's what, your relationship is failing. It's done. Below this level, and you call them divorce lawyers. That's what it is, right? So you do not want to go below this table. So the game is to see who can hold on the longest with the weight in front of them. How many of y'all on Team Eugene today? Yo, man, how many got Team Michelle today? Every daggum week, man. I don't know why. We got some people that hate the men up in here. I'll tell you what. We are a church that loves to be able to have fun. All right, so go ahead. We're going to be able to start right now. There's no timers, just to see who can hold it up. Oh, we got one-handed right here. We got two hands. Somebody's got some confidence in there. Now, here's the reality with a relationship. Is that a relationship, when we get married, when we say, hey, I'm getting into this thing, all of a sudden, there's a little bit more weight to our life than what we're used to, which is why we have these weights that are right in front of us. But we also know that in a relationship, that we don't just sit there in the moment that we got married, that there are more weights that come along. Pretty soon, you got a little bit, you got a kid right there. You got a kid that gets along in there. You still going to do one hand? You're going to hold two of both of them now. Now you got to hold them up. There's a little bit more weight to it, isn't there? There's a little bit more weight that happens. And Michelle's thinking to herself, could you please talk faster? That's what she's thinking to herself. Kids happen into the equation. And sometimes, all of a sudden, there's a job change. Which one? No, you got this one. There's a job change that happens. Uh-oh, now we got a little bit more. What you going to do? You got to figure it out, bro. Somebody's not coming and figuring this life out for you. You got to figure this out. It's got to be able to stay above. You got to hold it out. You got to hold it out. Like, I don't even know how to do this. Hey, guess what? Pretty soon, somebody says something, and they have an affair on somebody. They have an affair on you. They do something that just causes you to be able to have so much pain. You got to keep it up. You got to keep it out. You got to keep it out. You got to keep it up, and you got to keep it out. You got to figure it out. Nobody's coming in. You got to figure this life out, bro. You got to be able to do this. This is what it is. You got to hold it out. You got to hold it out. You can't keep it in. You're cheating. You got to hold it out. Oh, there they go. There they go. There they go.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Hey, let's put him up here. Hold on to him. Keep holding on to him, but set him up here. Keep your hands on him. See, the reality for many of us is that we're trying to do it on our own strength. We're trying to love each other on our own strength. And when it's better, it's easy. But when the worst happens and there's more weight that gets involved, we can't hold it up anymore. And that's when the covenant is broken. I never said that you couldn't rest them on the table.
Details, man, details.
Because too many times in life we're trying to do it on our own. And God's plan is for not you to do it on your own. Set it all on Him. Set every single care and worry upon Him. And there's so much more weight that He's going to be able to hold. Because love is not found in each other. Love is found in Christ. And in Christ alone. Check this out. Give it up for these two. First Corinthians 3:13-7. It says, love never gives up, and it never loses faith. It always hopes and endures through every circumstance. How can love truly do that when there's so much weight that happens? How can love truly do that when there are so many worse moments that come for us? We can't live out for better or for worse until we realize and we rely upon the love that God has for us. And we put all of our hope and all of our trust into Him. And when that happens, we understand that when all life starts throwing all of these things upon Him, what I'm going to do, I'm just going to give it to Him. I'm not doing this on my own. I want you to understand today that every single person in here, we are weak. And you are never as strong as when you admit how weak that you truly are. 2 Corinthians. But he said to me that my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If we put it upon God, we could have held those weights up there all day long. They'd be still sitting in the exact same place a week from now. Because God's strong enough to be able to carry all of the weight that we have in this world. I can't do it on my own power. I can't do it on my own. See, many times people say to themselves, how can I truly live this out? How can I live out being in a covenant-keeping relationship when all of these things just come crashing at us over and over and over again? And I can tell you that for Jenny and I, we understand that we are weak. I've heard it said before, some people say, well, you know, divorce is not an option. It's not even a word that we're going to say. And I understand the sentiment of that. It means that they just say, hey, we're just sticking together. It doesn't matter what. But what we've understood is that we've seen other people in our positions, pastors and pastors' wives, and leading great movements of God, huge churches who have gone before and done so many greater things than maybe we will ever dream of doing. We know them. And then we've seen their relationships split apart. And so I think the greatest thing that we've realized is that divorce truly is an option. But it's an option that we refuse to give into. What makes us think that we're better than anybody else? Not. And you're not. Understand my weakness. And so what do we do in that weakness? We give it to Jesus. And so when the worst comes, it's easy for us to hold it up when it's better, but when the worst comes, and I can't do it on my own, and Jenny can't do it on her own, you know what we're doing? Well, we're putting it all on God's hands. In fact, even when it's better, we're putting it all in God's hands. I'm never even thinking about touching that table because I'm just giving it all to God. Our relationship is always going to be right there because I understand that I'm weak and I can't do it on my own. And I 100% absolutely need to find completion in my love, and I'm going to do that in Christ. And in Christ alone, I'm not going to rely on the love that Jenny has for me, and she's not going to rely on the love that I have for her. Instead, we are going to rely upon the love that God has for us today. Church, would you please stand with me?